Again, a warm welcome to all of you who may be visiting or indeed returning to this church after some time. It's great to be with you. If you've never been to an Episcopal service before, there's lots of standing and kneeling and like different kinds of movements. Just be present. Just invite you to be present here. There's no quiz at the end of all of this. Just be here. If you could, though, those of you that do have these babies, they're a little cute and distracting, so if you could tamper down the cuteness factor, I'd appreciate that. So brace yourselves this morning because I am about to attempt something you might think impossible. From McNabb to McGugan, I don't know if it's ever even been tried in this pulpit before, but I am going to attempt an 8-minute homily. Who said amen? Brian Gray. Whoa. Yeah, hold the applause. You see, one of the things that I love about being an Anglican is that the sermon is just a part of the overall liturgy. Don't get me wrong, it's important, but I would argue the sermon isn't even the main course. Our liturgy, and I mean our, the worship that we offer together to the living God, isn't about me and my sermon, no matter how banal or brilliant it might be. Or at least, it shouldn't be about me and my sermon. I must decrease that he might increase, as John the Baptist said, one of my favorite verses. It's all about God's word rightly proclaimed and the sacraments duly administered. And every part of our liturgy screams of God's beauty, truth, and goodness. If we only had the eyes to see and the ears to hear, there is not one word, one gesture, one vessel that doesn't convey meaning. So today, I mostly want to let the liturgy do the talking. And yes, there is a practical element here. Our liturgy this morning is long. I remember in seminary, I had a Greek Orthodox friend who was doing his best to convert me to Eastern Orthodoxy, and I almost did it until I went to church with him and a 3-hour divine liturgy. And might I add, you're standing in most of the Eastern tradition. So no knock on them, it was beautiful. I'm just not that holy. So practically, this is a short sermon so that we're not here until sundown. You're welcome. Can I get an amen from the congregation? Yeah. Boy, y'all really like short sermons, huh? But also, a short homily this morning because this liturgy is so rich, so meaningful. The liturgy itself already has everything that we need, encompassing both the joys that we will soon celebrate as these little ones are enfolded into the life in Christ through baptism, and the grief that we will also acknowledge today in our All Saints' necrology for those who've been lost in this year's past. And all of it shot through with the grace of God. What we're celebrating today is essentially 2 major feast days of the church rolled into one. First of all Saints, November 1st on the church calendar, and All Souls, November 2nd, both transferred to this Sunday so that we can partay together. All Saints was and is the day that the church would celebrate those who had lived exemplary lives in Christ. That's what saint means. It's just holy person. We celebrate their lives and witness today, asking the Holy Spirit to make us, in some small way, like them, following their lived witness as they followed the lived witness of Jesus Christ. So too do we celebrate All Souls today, remembering before God those who may not be formally recognized by the church as a capital S saint, but many of whom, in their own ways, listen as you hear these words read in the necrology, made saintly contributions to this church and to our world. And they've now gone on to that great cloud of witnesses that the writers of Hebrews talks about, surrounding us, rooting us on to lay aside every weight, the sin that clings so easily, that we might run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking always to Jesus as the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. This feast day is, if you didn't notice, a baptismal feast, one of the four primary baptismal feasts of the church, right up there with the Easter Vigil, Pentecost, and the baptism of our Lord. It may seem a little odd to join these two things together, the joyous occasion of baptism and this solemn remembrance of the souls of the faithful departed. But there is a through line in all of this. This world, however wonderful it is not our home. We are here for now for a redemptive purpose, but this isn't our final destination. We are, as Peter puts it, resident aliens, exiles in this world. 1 Peter 2:11. What we await is not a payout now in this world for the good deeds that we've done, not even heaven, but the recreation and the reconstitution of all things, the new heavens and the new earth that John foresaw in our reading from Revelation this morning. The new Jerusalem coming down from heaven, wherein God will dwell with us, wiping away every tear, all pain, even death itself for all eternity. In baptism today, we witness a kind of death. And I know that that sounds weird, because they're really cute little babies. Did I mention how distractingly cute they are? But as Paul says in both Romans and Colossians, in baptism, we are buried with Christ in his death, that we may be raised to newness of life in him. To live in this world, but with the power and the hope of God's renewing love. That this creation, as good as it is just the beginning of the story that God is writing. The first things of God's good work. There is even more in store. Let us today, as the church militant here on earth, as a part of the first creation, welcome all of those who by God's grace will be joining us and the church triumphant, all saints and souls in heaven who've gone before us, in dying to this world. Let us be witnesses of the joy of this baptism and recommit ourselves to the baptismal covenant that we will say here together shortly, that we might be about our Father's work, joining him in the renewal of all things as we await Christ's return. Let's let the liturgy do most of the talking today, paying attention, I mean really paying attention to how it is forming us by the mystery of God's grace into everyday apprentices to the way of Jesus, that we might be caught up in the drama of this liturgy and then sent forth from this place with renewed minds and rekindled hearts to bear witness to God's unending love, which has the power to transform us and this world. As Pope Benedict XVI put it, connecting liturgy to life, the worship of God in our lives cannot be relegated to something private and individual, but tends, by its nature, to permeate every aspect of our existence. Worship pleasing to God thus becomes a new way of living our whole life, each particular moment which is lifted up since it is lived as a part of relationship with Christ and an offering to God. Is that 8 minutes? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.